Hello, everybody. My name is Atticus.
And my name is Hope.
And you are now watching
The White Refrigerator. Welcome back, y'all.
Welcome back, everybody, where we are keeping you fresh in a world of mess.
And helping us feel better together.
Thank God, because Lord knows we need that. after Monday, I was still waiting. I was wishing on a hope and a prayer. I hear your name. Listen, that's all that was playing in my head the whole all of Monday until it happened. And I was like, shit.
It is. You know what? Again, it is what it is at this point. Whatever happens, happens. Yeah. America, you made your decision. Now you finished. Now you thought it was bad. Just wait. It's going to get real interesting.
A decision has been made. I'm not going to say I'm checking out. I'm not checking out completely. I'm checking out enough to where I can exist. I still just want to know like what's going on so I know what to do.
Same.
But yeah. Other than that, checked out.
I'm checked out from like the, how do I want to word it? Like some of the political stuff is just like, I'm a very political person and that's not going to stop being the case. I have accepted that. But at the same time, like I really got to protect my mental health and I just know like, and you know, I don't know what I know yet. Who knows? But I just know we've seen the past, so God knows what's coming. And you know, at this point, just try to stay as mentally well as you can, which is what we're going to try to help you do here. Like, we're going to laugh, we're going to have fun, we're going to learn some things together, and just it's okay to pull back some time. And then when you got to put your foot down and get back into it, you know, get back into it. But for the meantime, in between time, we going to be black, have fun. Or be white, or be whatever, whoever you are listening. We here for everybody.
We here for everybody,
you know. But yeah, we want things to be a good time, because you know what, life doesn't suck, and it doesn't have to suck.
It does not suck. Before we get into that a little bit, friend, how's your week been?
So my week this week has been pretty chill. It snowed here in Houston. The fellow Houstonians listening, no, it was beautiful. We got a good bit of snow too. It wasn't like a little chunk of snow. We got a good little bit of snow. So that was fun. That was really pretty. The grid didn't crash. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Cause last time was a disaster. So yeah, it's just been a late winter wonderland, if you will. Work is still the same, you know, getting more accustomed, more adjusted to things. My supervisor is a really cool guy, so it makes things easier. Our personality styles are a little different, but not in like a bad way. It's cool. Family is good. Like, things are good. I'm just kind of like easing into the new year and just kind of navigating things and saying, okay, Let's see how it goes. We're going to just try to feel as good as we possibly can. That's the goal. So I'm just, in the words of Mariah Carey, I'm doing what I can with what I got. Just like that. Heavy on that.
Do the face right. She said, what I got.
My good sis was tore the hell up. From music, so TV, I've been watching Unrivaled has been hella fun to watch. And again, that's the off league from the WNBA players created by Nafisa Collier and Breonna Stewart. So that's been fun to watch. I started Severance, I didn't finish it. I think I got like caught up on something, so I need to catch up, because I think we're already on like episode 2, so I'm like, okay, I need to
I forgot.
Yeah, Braille, yeah.
Castlevania. I forgot all about Severance.
But music. So shout out to TikTok. I went back through a lot of my favorites and downloaded some like songs that I just had forgotten about, like songs I favorited and like independent artists, they hadn't dropped it yet or whatever the case may be. And I went back and found them. And TikTok had this really cool feature. I say had because I'm not on TikTok anymore. I still have a page, but I deleted the app. So it is what it is. But they have this really cool feature where you can like download music straight to Spotify if it's like on like actual platforms. So a couple that I want to shout out that I have really, really enjoyed is I'm Confident That I'm Insecure by Lawrence. And I remember seeing a video on TikTok and then like, I guess maybe it's a group. I don't know. I still have to dig further into them. But the song, when we talk about singers singing, the singers were singing that with their whole face and throat.
That sounds great.
Yeah, they. I'm talking about good singing. I'm talking about like all them singing. Fool Crate. Now, Fool Crate is popped up. I don't know if I've mentioned him before. I feel like I might have mentioned him last season because he did a remix with Oh gosh, what's the name of the group? They did the really popular song Jungle. Back to 74, he did a remix with like a reggaeton type thing, and it chef's kiss. But he has one with a Shea Universe that I had forgot about, and that's a bop. And then another one, and actually this is an independent artist, and she doesn't have a lot of plays. So whoever's listening, y'all run her numbers up. Cause she got one of the best, nastiest songs that I heard in a long time. And it's something about neo soul nasty that I really like. It's something about it that does things for me. But her name is Rayana J, or Rayana J, R-A-Y-A-N-A, and then J-J-Y. And the song is called Garden. And she wants you to moisturize her garden, if you will.
Oh.
It's the things. It gives me
gardens
the things.
Gardens do need to be moisturized.
Wet. So yeah, that's pretty much been the lineup for me this week. Just good music, slow vibes, just chilling. Again, like I mentioned earlier, I like a knucklehead deleted my let me put my phone on do not disturb. Deleted TikTok, so I don't have TikTok anymore. But I feel like that's not the worst thing. I do miss it, and I've certainly had withdrawals, but, you know, I want to preface and say this, because I've seen this a lot, and I know I have spoken somewhat of this, and I want to give clarification. I am not one of those people that believes that, especially TikTok. I want to specify TikTok especially, because this is a little different for other platforms, but I don't believe like TikTok was a brain rot. TikTok has taught me so much great stuff, super great information, made me want to research amazing things. I found like, as I've talked about this before, I'm a science girly, so I saw all kind of stuff just right up my alley. People right. Inventing things and then like solar systems. So this is like right up my alley of things. Like all these super cool engineering stuff. So like, and then music, I'm big on independent artists. So, like, I found some of my favorite artists through TikTok. And to the creators, like, so many people make an actual living off of TikTok. And they put out great content. So, I say all that to say, I don't think TikTok is a bad platform. I do think, however, our brains have kind of been warped for a while now. This was far before TikTok was even a thing. Like this, we can go way back into the social media basket. And I think that now things are just like, I find myself, and I can't speak for the younger generation, maybe they've mastered it because it's something that they've had their entire lives. But as a millennial and an older millennial at that, like, well, I say older millennial. There are millennials much older, but
elder millennials.
I'm in that middle millennial, I guess. We grew up without that. So, like, it didn't really become prevalent in our lives, at least until we were teenagers. And maybe even older teenagers at that. Like, it wasn't like, I mean, we had AOL chats and stuff like that. What's your ASL, age, sex, and location? We was 12 years old chatting.
Baby.
36.
In the danger zone.
Danger.
We were all in danger. Molly, you in danger, girl. All of us in danger.
Just, baby, the pedophile. That's why the pedophiles were so bad back in the day. That's why people was like, we can't touch children anymore. No, it was never a great thing in the first place.
You mean we can't groom them in chat rooms?
Yeah. She's showing feet in the chat room. I'm sorry, Doja. I'm I love you, Doja Cat, but still. We know what you mean. Anyways. But
yeah. Ooh, but yeah, that was good.
I say all that, rambling, short story long. I do miss it, and to the people who still get to benefit from it, continue to create your art, create your things. And yeah, you know, who sees, you know, who knows what will happen. We'll see what happens in the future. But as of right now, for me personally, I don't think this is the worst thing. There's so many other things that I know that I need to focus on. And I know last week we were talking about procrastination and distractions, which I want to kind of revisit a little bit more in this episode, because I feel like we had so much top shelf that we didn't give it its just due. But yeah, sometimes it's just good to enjoy the outside again. But there's nothing wrong with TikTok and inside, because it brings a lot of people joy and it's brought a lot of people community. So do what makes you happy, because that's what matters at the end of the day.
Yes, God. I'm definitely one of those that it brought enjoyment to. For sure. All the time.
What about you, friend? How was your week?
My week has been great, actually. I want to dare I say better since TikTok has been, like, gone. So I have two phones right now. So I deleted it off my iPhone, especially after TikTok came up with that message talking about President Trump is doing his best to make the app come back. I got pissed off and deleted it off my iPhone.
Friend, that's what got me. Then, I was like, let me get this the fuck out of here.
Yep. But since I just switched to the iPhone, it was still on my Android. So when it came back, I was still on there. And then they had another fucked up message said, thanks to President Trump. I'm going to bleep that name out because I done said it twice and I done made a promise to myself not to say that name ever again. Thanks to the specimen, we're back for another however many days to...
Redacted. Get.
Yes. We're back. They out there with them goddamn ATVs.
I heard them that time too. They was loud.
They out there with them motherfucking ATVs again. Where the fuck have y'all been all day while the sun was shining? My God, today. Okay.
Colors recording.
In one of the pictures I sent you last night, did you see them? They were in a couple of them, actually.
I didn't see them. I was just enjoying. Y'all got hella snow.
Yeah, it was.
Y'all got snow.
The first time, I almost busted my ass at the end of that driveway because it sloped down. I was like, thank you, Jesus, because I would have been sick had I failed and dropped that damn camera. I would have been sick. You hear me?
But
it was good. So since TikTok, I do want to say I was trying to work on my routine. I ain't realized like how much a part of that social media was. TikTok especially, because that's one of the first things like I was just kind of looking at. And I picked up my phone and I'm like, shit, I ain't got nothing to look at. I might as well get my ass up out of the bed. Except for today. Today, I will sleep all goddamn day. I know I'm rambling a little bit. If y'all need a sleep aid, ashwagandha will put your ass to sleep. Now, I recommend taking the shit in the daytime, like in the morning, and you'll sleep great that night. My dumb ass took it at like 8:30 last night. And I woke up for a little bit. And then I went my ass back to sleep, and I've been asleep all goddamn day. And it's 8 o'clock now. This week has actually been—it's just kind of been chill. When it comes to TV, I talked to y'all a little bit about Castlevania last week because I am super obsessed with that show, and I've watched it two more times since. But also, why ain't nobody tell me there was a new Sailor Moon movie on Netflix? So I knew, first of all, I was obsessed with Sailor Moon as a child. I knew that there was a Sailor Moon Crystal, which was the reboot of the original, and everything was just like the original. They sped it up a little bit, but it was still great. Then I get on there and saw this Sailor Moon Cosmos movie on there with a whole bunch of other Sailor Scouts that I didn't even know existed ever. Not only that, half them bitches was evil. And it was three new Sailor Scouts. What was their name? They were like Star Scouts or something. It was like Sailor Star this, Sailor Star that. It was three of them. You already know when they transform, they take forever to fucking transform. And it's all like this beautiful Babbage scenery when they're transforming. Tell me why, when these bitches transformed, they was tap dancing. I ain't never seen no shit like that. Like Sailor Star.
Bray, you sent me that. I was like, is these bitches river dancing? What is going on?
They took me out of here. It was great. That was the best. That was the best. I don't know how long that movie been on Netflix, but I'm just upset. Ain't nobody tell me it was there. When it comes to music, I've kind of just been letting Spotify play a little bit for me. Mm-hmm. So I ran into a couple of new people. One of them, I don't know how new this man is, because I was looking at his Spotify and some of his songs were like, they were up there in listen count. His name is JMSN.
Chow?
Yeah, so I didn't know how long he'd been around on them.
Friend, I had mentioned him a few weeks back ago.
Did you?
Yes.
I don't know if you mentioning Kate. So he was the one.
So, well, he pronounces it Jameson. Because I said it's JSM. He's the one that made that song that was popular on TikTok that was, oh God, it was like a remake of like a.
One of.
The 90s songs.
Yes, one of JD's old songs.
Yep.
And a lot of his music is super good, though.
Yes, it is.
So I saw that one that you're talking about. Listened, kept listening. Wonderful. There's another lady called Precious Pepola.
I heard her.
She has a song called Sunday Morning. She doesn't have a whole lot of music, but her music is pretty good, too. I think you might actually like her. I wouldn't necessarily say neo-soul-ish, but she's a singer.
Okay.
And then there is a group. I don't think I mentioned them on here at all. They're actually a part of the whole quality control label or management situation. Their name is the Boykins, and they're country artists. And the first I'd seen them was a music video for Fell in Love with a Cowboy.
Okay.
Absolutely love that song. Absolutely love it. It's not like a... It's not a traditional, it's country hip hop song. Love it. Love
it. Like what Shaboozy be doing?
Kind of like what Shaboozy be doing.
Okay.
Yes. And I don't think the country thing is like a stick or a gimmick for them. Almost like Shaboozy, I feel like that's just their, like, they enjoy country music. That's their thing. And I like that a lot. But as far as music, that's kind of where I've been. I've just been letting it play.
Okay, fine.
Anything else happened this week?
Also, there's another song I want y'all to check out. It has tickled me so bad, and I go back and play it just to laugh at it. So first of all, shout out to Shantae Moore. Shantae Moore is the OG petty chick. Now, I'm speaking to my older millennials. For the new kids, I need y'all to get into this too. Shantae had a song called Shantae's got a man at home, and he's so good to me. The entire song, she's dragging all her friends. She's dragging the shit. In the video, she's, I'm sorry that your man ain't home. It's so petty, but she's also got another song called Bitter. Y'all, please.
Friend, were those songs on the same album?
No, I think...
I was about to say, that's crazy. Because you just read yourself.
Right. I think that was the album before. She said, I hate your dog. Y'all, I've never heard anybody sing the word nigga so pretty in my life. I hate your smile. Nigga.
She meant every word of it.
Every single... Listen, y'all, please get into that. That song had tickled me real bad. Shout out to Shantae Moore. Still also being fine at her good old age. She's somewhere in her 50s, I think. I'm pretty sure. But, yeah.
Oh, damn, we getting old.
Yeah, yeah.
Bitch, did you know Sinbad was in a wheelchair?
Oh, I did not know that.
Child.
That's sad.
We getting old for real.
Listen, you know what? I'm okay. We're getting older. I am okay. We're getting older. I welcome it. Yes. I welcome it. I'm in my what do they call it? The TT age. I'm an auntie. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Me too.
I'm gonna do a very very light top shelf, because I'm tickled. And I'm going to stay on the theme of music.
What you got? Wait. Before you do that, I got one more song.
Okay.
By Dave Blunts. It's called The Cup. I don't know if y'all had heard of that. That the song and video brought me so much joy. And not in a, oh my God, this song is so beautiful, I love this song type of way. Like, I do love the song, but only because it's hilarious. The video is also fucking hilarious. It is great. Like, as a...
I'm not.
No, because I'm not even making fun of him. His whole existence has brought me so much joy. And that's all I'm going to say. Like, it's obvious he's not taking himself, like, super seriously.
I think he does.
No. He is. Well, even if he does, I think he's doing a great job at what he's doing. I'm definitely not going to be a hater. It's funny as fuck, though.
I'm going to be a hater. I'm so tired of this new rap. I'm so tired of y'all niggas. The beat be over here, and y'all be over here.
That is true. I don't know where that came from.
I don't either. It makes me crazy.
Or how that didn't, like, make y'all dizzy when y'all started it. Because that shit, like, you listen to it, and it's like you get vertigo or some shit. You're like, what's happening? What is...
The like, beat is what's over happening? Here.
Yes. But yeah, I just wanted to make a quick mention of that.
He's being messy, y'all, but you know
I'm
what?
Not.
Let's mosey on over to top shelf, speaking of fucking music and musicians. So, very quickly. I don't even know where to start, because so 2025 came out like a crackhead. 2025 literally came out
like Wanda,
specifically the part where she was like, bless her, bless her. Where she was stomping around, bless her. Like, that's how this year's come out. to Roseanne Barr Minaj, you could not have told me 20 years ago, 25 years ago, whenever that, hell, it was longer than that, because that show came out in the 80s. I knew Roseanne was a racist. Like, we've seen that over the last several years, probably the last decade.
Didn't she get on, like, Ambien and start saying the N-word or some shit?
She started doing all kind of crazy shit for, like, I'm not even joking. She baked some cookies. She was just fighting
her sleep. She's like,
and now she's rapping. She got box. Box braids. I hope them motherfuckers. She already got two strands of hair. I hope them motherfuckers pull all of her hair out. She's sitting there with this song, and it's just like, what dimension did we lift off? Where did we go? Because somewhere something happened, and I want to know what happened, because I don't feel like I'm in the same thing that I once was in. It's just like, when, like, it's given, like, she's no, like, Onika, you know, she's been extremely problematic. She's no longer the most problematic female rapper. Now it's Roseanne Barr. And she said, and then
I feel like 2025 started off as satire. Like, none of this even seems real.
It feels like I'm in a claymation.
This is a movie. Yeah.
And then Snoop Dogg and Nelly, in the words of De Susan Mero, back when they used to have their show, we need to have a what do they used to call it? An emergency black meeting. Specifically Snoop, because Snoop showed his ass so bad about these other niggas, said they was cooning and stuff when they was doing shit for Trump. Hey, what are you doing? Snoop has been problematic before, and it's like, now I don't know what to say. This nigga's really sitting here rapping for the ops, rapping for the ops. Try to get at you. what is happening? And Nelly?
Yeah, that one actually took me. Well, I was so surprised. I was shocked. I was like, what?
Love Coons and I. Oh. Me Coons, Nelly, I.
Friend. Love Coons. Out of everybody that it was Nelly, Snoop Dogg, and Soulja Boy. And Rick Ross, right?
Yep.
So out of the four of them, Nelly and Rick Ross were probably the ones I was most surprised by doing that.
Yeah.
And the only thing I want from this, to be honest, I want them to get treated the same way Chrisette Michelle got treated.
Hello!
Chrisette Michelle got... Baby, have we heard anything from her? Is she okay?
On the Terrell show and talked about that, and that was really... sad to hear. And I said that before. I was like, y'all didn't have all that same smoke for Steve Harvey when he took his ass up there the first time. He wasn't performing, but he wanted to have a meeting with Trump on behalf of the blacks. Nigga, ain't nobody ask you to speak on behalf of us. Like, what?
Of all people, you wanted to be the spokesperson. Okay. I just need that same treatment that she got, because she got obliterated. I need that same treatment that she got for everybody else that did what they did.
It's just, golly peaks.
And a crazy thing is, seeing what happened to her, why would you do that? Why? Because there was nothing. After seeing what happened to her, nothing would have made me go. I would have hung up that phone so fast.
Here's the thing, friend. We know men get different treatment. So
we do.
And this is, I mean, niggas is clowning them. I mean, as they should. This is absolutely insane and ridiculous. But you know what? If anything, I think people forget that at the end of the day, these people are still rich before they're anything else. They will oftentimes forget their blackness over their richness, even though they are absolutely black over their richness. But at the end of the day, it's about that bag. And what did Maya Angelou say?
When someone shows you who they are.
When someone shows you believe.
stomach.
Oh God.
I'm so sorry. Ah, shit.
Oh God.
Oh, shit. Ah, God damn. What?
Ooh. Oh, my stomach. Okay. Okay. Oh, God.
Oh, man. Ooh,
shit.
Boy, that took me out of here.
Ooh. I feel like I've been doing crunches.
Right. Talk about unexpected. Shit.
Oh, God. Okay.
I'm Ooh. So sorry, y'all.
Listen. Ooh.
Ooh, shit.
Ooh, that was a good ass laugh. So, yeah. It's not being, it's not. So hard being Snoop D-O-double-G anymore. It's still hard being Snoop D-O-double-G. It's not. You know what? So make your money, sell your soul, whatever. Well, you know, whatever it is that you want to, you know, do it, at this point, it's whatever. It's whatever. I genuinely am at a place of like, Roseanne Barr can keep that stinking ass, musty ass rap, whatever that was. Because it was terrible. It was terrible.
I didn't even listen. I just saw the clips of it.
The clips that I seen was terrible. Like, it was it was
bad.
I don't know what type of punk rap that, I don't know what that was.
That's a rap.
I guess so.
That's another bleep that got to happen.
As for them other four niggas, you know what? Do what you want to do. Fuck it.
Yep. Just so everybody remembers. Keep that same energy you had for Chrisette.
Yep.
Because her life was, her career was ruined.
It literally was ruined. Like, they ended that bitch. So, like.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's it for Top Shelf, y'all.
The Wyra Picture. Now that we're done with Top Shelf, let's get into the question of the week from last week. All right.
Still crying over there.
I'm sorry. This is, woo. All right. Just in real life, when I get tickled, it be like something done flipped inside and I just can't make it stop. I keep trying, but it keeps replaying. Oh. So, all right. Whew. Woosah. In that back.
Woosah.
All right. So the question was, how much of my life has been shaped by the expectation of others versus my own authentic desires? And I'll go first with this one. So when it comes to this specific question, I feel like ever since I was little, there was some type of like people pleasing mechanism. I feel like I want to call it like the good kid syndrome almost. There was this people pleasing mechanism that was instilled. So not only that, I wanted to make most everybody around me happy or comfortable. But I could also see, like, we weren't rich growing up, so I could see that, like, my parents didn't have money. Like, they got me things, they got me what they could. I actually feel like I had a great childhood. But there were also points in time where I realized, like, they can't afford this. They're working all the time. This thing that I'm asking for is unaffordable. And it would be unfair for me to, like, burden them or try to make them feel bad for not being able to get me something, you know? So there would even be certain times like I won't ask for this specific thing. I won't ask to go to this place. I kind of fell into a place of making life easier for those around me. So when it comes to this question specifically, I feel like almost my entire existence up to a certain point was shaped by the desires of others and not necessarily saying they didn't want anything for me, but I felt like I would try to place their needs above what it was that I wanted. Like, if I don't get this thing, it's cool. Everybody doing what they got to do. You know, everybody got a part to play. I'm not going to make no big deal about it. So in this particular instance, I honestly want to say I didn't get to really experience my authentic self until my like later 20s or 30s. This is like where the coming out of the closet thing started, like took shape in itself, and I became more of what I believe Atticus is. And I only believe in like the past 2 or 3 years, it's gotten really bad to a point where like the boundaries have come into place. And you already know, I mean, I'm a little bit crazy with the boundaries, and I might be going overboard sometimes. We gonna work that out. But I think it's so severe that if I even feel like you are infringing upon me and what I am, like, bitch, you can get the fuck up out of here. I don't have to experience you. We ain't got to be in each other's face. I ain't got to hate you, but I don't want nothing to do with you because you not finna take away from me who I am. And I already know like how easy it is for me to shrink into the background in certain situations. So I'm not going to put myself in a situation to come outside of Atticus for you or anybody else. If that makes any sense at all. I be rambling, y'all. I'm sorry. My thoughts may not have been cohesive, but you know what the fuck I'm trying to say.
No, that makes perfect sense to me. And that makes just perfect sense in general. I think a lot of people suffer from that where it's like, you know, I'm so used to like not shaking the table or troubling the waters that like once I find myself, I don't know
I'm not
when.
Going back, Stevie. You're not the club. I'm not going back.
Like, I don't know when too much is too much or when too little is too little. So it's like, okay, that fine line. But I love that friend. Thank you for sharing that. That's about what this episode is about, vulnerability. So thank you for being vulnerable and opening up about that. I would say quite a bit of my life for the same reasons as yours. Sorry, y'all. I done laughed myself into a damn frog in my throat. But I would say, you know, I think we talked about this maybe the first episode of season 2 about how, you know, I when I did my DISC test, and I found out I was more empathetic and steady, and I kind of am in a routine. I'm a creature of habit, if you will. I think there's like this conditioning that took place where it's like, you know, especially the oldest girl child syndrome. If to the oldest girl child women in here, you understand what I'm saying. Like, it's the, if nobody else pulls through, then I have to do it. And that's hard because you kind of just, you take on that second motherly role, and it's like, okay, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it better. I'm going to do this. And it gets a bit overwhelming. You find yourself, like in my case, you know, we talked about this before, you know, that resentment where it's like, I didn't put myself first in this situation, or, you know, I did something and it didn't benefit me the way I wanted it to. And now there's been negative effects, and I'm upset with myself because I knew ultimately the decision was mine to make, you know, and you try to be empathetic and understanding. But my therapist told me something, I think I shared this before, but I'll share it again because it was such a, like a boosh moment. But she was like, you know, you can't allow your empathy to be greater than your boundaries. And I don't know, that kind of just, it sticks with me because it's like, you know, there is, no is a complete sentence. Mm-hmm. And you have to not be afraid of no's sometimes. And it's just like, I look at all the things that, you know, I do take on and that I have taken on that maybe wasn't my full responsibility or maybe wasn't my responsibility at all. And, you know, that woulda, coulda, shoulda doesn't mean anything. So I would say it shaped a good bit of my life. I'm in the process of working myself out of that now to just really stand in my own light, because I've had plenty of selfish moments. Now, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I have not. I have had plenty of selfish moments where I'm like, you know what? Fuck all y'all. I'm finna do me. But I think what particularly made those moments not truly authentic was because the actual motive was like, fuck all y'all. I'ma do me. It wasn't in a place of like kindness or just to myself. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, or being just to myself, you know, having justice of self rather. Like it was retaliatory? I think that's the word.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't
get you, sucker.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm gonna just pull back and I'm gonna do me. And it's like, you know, if you're gonna do you, make sure it's for the right reasons. There's development, there's growth, there's rest. Because sometimes you don't always have to do you and there be productivity in that. Sometimes you can just rest and do you. So, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of half and half on that. I'm getting better with it. And just trusting myself and my decisions more. So I would say, I've settled, but I also have done a lot of good in that settling. So I wouldn't take it back. Like there's no point in taking it back. Again, I'm not a woulda, coulda, shoulda bitch anymore. That resentment been tearing my ass up. The main cause of my depression. And I just can't, it's done. It's done. So now it's like, how do I shape what is to go forward? Like, how do I shape my life going forward? So yeah, I've settled and bottled up a lot more times than I would like to admit that I have, but I've been selfish a lot more times than I'd like to admit that I have. So now I'm in this middle ground of seeking this balance, if you will, true balance of self.
That's beautiful, Fred. That is beautiful. Lord knows I feel that fuck y'all part, because been real heavy on that lately.
Be on that Luke James. Do-do-do. Fuck you. That's somebody else who sang it. That's so pretty. And they were just saying crazy shit.
What you say? You can leave with any. What he say? You can leave with everything you came with. Fuck you. It's the ad lib in the background.
I forgot what he said in the second verse, but that shit had tickled me so bad. I was like, oh, this nigga hates you, bitch. He hates you.
The white refrigerator. Let's move on into the main topic for today.
Vulnerability.
Why do you do the SpongeBob rainbow hands?
So I think this topic is an interesting one, because vulnerability is truly like the Achilles heel of humanity. I don't know why this is a thing. Like, it's such a big thing to be vulnerable, which the older I get, the more I realize that shit is absolutely crazy. I don't want to be hard all the time. I don't want to not be open. I want to experience new things. I want to feel new things. And I feel like that literally comes from being vulnerable, being open, not being afraid and taking chances. And also there's this other side of vulnerability to where you close off and people can't be who they truly are. You know, it's so many different ways to look at how not being vulnerable can not only affect your life, but deter you from a lot of the things that you're trying to achieve, because some part of you is closed off, or you shut down, or I don't want to do this. Or one of my favorite scenarios is there was like this running gag that like black men could take over gymnastics if they didn't consider it gay. And I think about that all the time. It's like, as soon as a nigga put on some tights, he can't drink fruity drinks. He can't put on tights. He can't do this. He can't do that.
Enjoy life.
Yeah, it's like it's gay. And Atticus and I were having a conversation about something he saw, where a question was posed, you know, should boys get pink things. What was like the whole thing?
Something about, like pink toys.
Yeah, pink toys. And it's like, okay, so what if the kid is an artist? Like, first of all, I just want to stop and say this. Because y'all forget this quite often. And I shouldn't even have to say this because it's dumb. But this, okay, hear me out. You know what makes you gay? Fucking other dudes. That's what makes you gay. I don't understand how, like, oh, he dresses sassy. He might just have style. That take could be pink, a thing.
Take pink for it. I don't know what pink was. But pink, even going back to, like, who was that? Rick James? Their style was very
flamboyant.
Very flamboyant. It was very different from what the norm was.
Every last one think of y'all granddaddies
was in question.
Yeah, every last one of your granddaddies had long Jerry curl perm. They had
the pinky.
They had heels on. Them motherfuckers wasn't platforms. They had on pure 6-inch heels with they moose knuckle abound. Just all you seen was dick print
walking
bars
in the club like nobody business.
Balled up ass tight leather pants. Ooh, doing shit like that. And they'll still stab you and take your bitch. Like, I just jive to the sucker.
Right.
I'll cut your ass. Like, it's so, I don't even have the words for it. Like, it's so exhausting. And I feel like vulnerability is probably, at least in my humble opinion, when I think of, like, the things that truly allow growth, I'm going to put vulnerability not just in the top 5, but in the top 3. I feel like that is, like, in the top of things that allow you to actually grow and enjoy life in a very authentic to self manner, the way it should be. Like, you shouldn't try to be anyone else. You shouldn't try to. I'm gonna say this and then I'm gonna pass it over to Addie. Kev on stage, shout out to Kev on stage. I enjoy all his stuff. He said something that I saw. I don't know if it was TikTok or Instagram. It was something recently he posted on, but he was like, stop focusing on your weakness so much and enhance your strengths. And I was like, okay, let's see where he's going with this. Because, you know, you want to focus on your weaknesses to make yourself better. But what he essentially was saying was that we get so caught up in trying to be this all-around thing versus being the very best thing at what we are. And he was like, you can't be authentic to self and give the world true self if you're like all over, you know what I'm saying? Like you're not
scattered.
Yeah, you're not actually focusing on that thing that makes you great. And I think it's just because we have this constant need to feel things. And when I say feel, not F-E-E-L, F-I-L-L, to feel things. Like we need to put something here, and we need to put something there, and then we gotta do this and we gotta do that, and it's just like, how about you be great at what you're great at? Now, you could be multifaceted. That's not always as fun as it seems, though, because as a multifaceted individual with ADHD, scatterbrain, bitch, I be scatterbrained. So it's good to, like, hone in on the things that make you great and understand that everybody ain't gonna like it. Not gonna be everybody's fave. But the vulnerability to just put yourself out there and continue to do because you love it is what matters. And that goes for everything in life. Okay, so what if the nigga is gay? Or what if the woman is gay? Or what if, like, y'all be worried about the wrong shit? Let people live so we can all have a better quality of life. Because the thing is, when you oppress any certain group, there's always going to be this tug. And that's what I feel like a lot of people are realizing, or not realizing, rather, is that it's this thing to where we're like, you know, Republicans, for instance, like, I don't understand why they're always upset about this, and we don't want to, they're just pushing this on us. We wouldn't have to fight so hard to push anything on us if you would just give us the bare necessities and leave us the fuck alone.
And the other thing with that, that specific thing is, nothing is being pushed on you. It exists. like the mere existence of it to you is irritating you for some reason. Like you're starting to see things on TV. Not that those things haven't always existed. You just haven't seen them on, you haven't seen those stories being told on TV or being told in music. Not for the masses to see anyway. So now that it is okay and you see those things, now it's something being pushed on you. Nothing is being pushed on you. You don't have to watch. And the fact that you don't acknowledge that people exist doesn't mean that they don't exist. They're there. They're likely there in your circle of people. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. Why? Because they can't be vulnerable with you.
Hello.
They can't tell you. They can't tell you because they know how you are. So, as a gay man, all of my fellow gay men know our theme song should be "If Your Girl Only Knew." That should be our theme. That should be the theme song. Not even just for gay men, for gay people in general. Because as a gay, there's so much of some of the stuff that we had to deal with comes from straight people or people that are just not out the closet.
People who can't be authentic to themselves.
People who can't be authentic. They can't be vulnerable in that way. So a lot of us have been involved with those people who are your friends, who you would never think that we're this way, but they are, and it's okay. And you can like try to tell them that it's okay to be that way, but they're not going to listen to you because they've been shut down. They've been shut down either by someone in their life very early on in life. And it didn't even have to be a direct shutdown. This could have been some shit that happened that they just witnessed happen to somebody else that deterred them from being who they could be. So now they have to live with this turmoil. I'm sorry. I went on a rant, y'all.
That's all right. I'm always talking. I need you to talk.
To me. when it comes to vulnerability for me, I feel like vulnerability is based more off of trust and somewhat safety, if that makes sense. Like you have people who are just innately very bold, don't give a fuck what nobody think. I feel like it's a lot easier for this personality type to be more vulnerable and be open and just be who they are altogether and not care what anybody has to say about it, because that's just who they are in their core.
Right.
Then you have people who are not quite as people who are more timid. If the environment isn't made safe, and this is coming from like my own personal experience, if the environment doesn't seem to be a safe environment, and again, it doesn't have to be anything that directly is said or done to you. This can be shit that you've heard said or done around you about a situation that may be similar. So this would deter you from being vulnerable with some of the people you should probably be vulnerable with. I feel like even as a kid, if you were to tell an adult something and they like betrayed your trust, what do you think happens from that point on? Or even as an adult, you tell somebody something and they betray your trust, what happens? You shut down. You can't be vulnerable with them anymore. And I also believe this breeds kind of like that cold, standoffish thing that happens within relationships sometimes. Like, I can't communicate with you effectively, so I kind of just don't really communicate much at all. Sorry.
Okay.
Like, I just don't trust you enough to communicate with you. Would love to. It just doesn't work that way.
I want to challenge you on that, mm-hmm. personally.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite sayings is the biggest risk you can take is to not take a risk at all.
That's true.
I think so where that fine line meets is because I love that you mentioned safety, because that's... Oops, sorry, I hit my mic, y'all. Safety is especially when you are more conscious and aware and you move and navigate differently, safety is a very big thing for you. I'll tell anybody, a part of coming out is choosing your happiness over your safety. Because, you know, we know the battle that takes place between the two. But there's a fine line of, like, being safe and being too safe and not taking that risk. And it's like, it's it's like, I don't want to be hurt, right? Because that safety is just protection. Like, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to have to go through this because I don't want to have to deal with the healing process. Like, we understand cause and effect, especially as you get older. Like, it's like, okay, if I go through this, this is going to lead to this, which is going to lead to this, which is going to lead to this. But at the same time, it's like, am I too safe? What am I preventing myself from gaining because I'm so reserved that the ship left without me? So I just want to challenge you on that, friend. Be a little bit more open.
I'm trying. I would say that I'm at least in the space to try to be open, to be an open. If that makes sense. Like, there are certain parts of me that I am just kind of ready to deal with, face, wrestle with, and just get them over so I can move.
Yeah.
Move forward. So there's definitely that happening.
Which is also a dangerous game to play, too, because when you shut down... I'm going to say something, and some of y'all not going to like what I'm about to say. I'm not going to fully like what I'm about to say. You cannot shut down when there are other people involved. Hear me out. This is where, like, true emotional intelligence has to kick in. Because when you're... Now, I'm not saying address shit right away, because Atticus and I have talked about this before. Sometimes it's good to hold your peace until you know that you are in your right mind before you start talking. Because ain't nobody, we're not doing this yelling and da-da-da-da-da. We're not doing no back and forth unless we can talk like adults. But when you're dealing with another person in any type of relationship, platonic, romantic, whatever, shutting down and just completely... Now, and there's caveats to this. There's caveats to this. Shutting down and just, like, not looking for a solution. So just, like, I'm done. I have mixed emotions on that. I feel like it's not fair to both parties because a lot of the times things could be talked through. But caveats. Depends on the person. Depends on the situation. Because I'm not one for repeating myself at this good old age anymore. I'm not going to keep telling you something bothers me or something upsets me or this is a problem. I'm not going to keep, we're going and going and going. Why are we doing this? Over and going over and over again. Circles. I'm not doing this.
Round and round.
I'm sorry, y'all. That's just hella fun for me. But yeah, we're not gonna keep going in circles. I'm not gonna keep explaining myself. More importantly, I'm not gonna allow you to keep playing in my face and hurting my feelings. So that's why I say there's caveats. Because sometimes it's absolutely okay to shut. And it's not shutting down because here's the thing, if you've explained and you've had this conversation, I guess what I'm saying is this, there needs to be the allowance of a conversation at least once. If you want to go twice, depending on who it is, cool. Because, you know, sometimes we give more leeway to, like, loved ones, family members, spouses, stuff like that. By that third time, this is where I think Atticus' situation comes in. Because now I don't want to be vulnerable with you anymore. I don't want to be open with you anymore. Because we've done this and you're intentionally hurting me even after I've told you otherwise. And now for me, it's like, okay, whoop, we're done. It's we're closing curtains. It's that's it. It's a wrap. Finito. We're not doing this. And I'm not going to let you play in my face anymore.
No, because you said a thing. You can't shut down when other people are involved. And I will definitely say I've been selfish in that fact. Like, bitch, fuck out my face. Like, I will shut down in a heartbeat. This is definitely a character flaw that I can recognize within myself. And even, like, I wouldn't say just character flaw. I would say it's like a built-in safety mechanism.
Yeah.
At that point, just to kind of shut down and shut the door. There was one one person at one point in time told me I was mad at him for something. I can't even remember why I was mad at him. But he was like, see, that's your problem. You don't never, you don't allow nobody to come in and like to help you and help calm you down and do all. He wasn't lying. I didn't want to hear that shit right then. But he wasn't lying. Like once it's gotten there, and that's another thing that's my fault, is letting it get there.
Yes.
Because I'm a firm believer now that you teach people how to treat you. So if you put up with something one too many times and you just kind of, you know, let it go, they're just going to keep going with whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
So once I done reached this point, it's like, bitch, fuck you. No, you can't. I don't want to hear nothing else, because at this point, I'm at my end.
I done told
you. Even though it was my fault that I'm here in the beginning.
Yeah.
So yeah, you was right. You right on about that one. I'm going to have to write that down on my list of shit to talk about.
it's not easy. It's just, it's a consideration factor, right? Like taking other people's feeling into consideration. And the hardest part is even if they don't take yours into consideration, right? Because if you, as long as you do your due diligence, as long as you do your part, then you have peace with it. I did my part.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to be a clown, so fuck you. Join the circus. I don't care. I did my part. I tried. And then that, I think that's where, you know, we have to make it. Okay, now it's time to sever ties. I'm not doing that. So yeah, I think the thing about vulnerability, because I want to go back to something that you talked about. I think it was last week where you were saying like doubting yourself and like feeling, you know, inadequate, you know, like, oh, I'm just Atticus, you know, like, I think that's a vulnerability issue too, because it's like, why not put yourself out there? Who else is going to put you out there if you don't put yourself out there? Just because, and going back to what you said there, so Atticus knows this about me. I'm not a believer of like whooping my child. Mm-hmm. And so he was talking about me being a soft parent. Now, don't get twisted. I raise hell. I have other methods of discipline, but I thought about something when it comes to what you just said about, you know, children trusting you and so on and so forth. If anybody need to catch hands, it's adults. Think about this. Children are learning. This is the time that they need to be vulnerable to discover who they are so they can be their best selves in their adulthood, right?
Mm-hmm. Being molded.
Right. When you discipline your children over crazy shit, stupid shit, we were talking about this when the whole peak thing and like Atticus mentioned influence and how that affects certain things. And like I said, there's good influence and negative influence. Like all it takes, especially from a parent, is for a child to hear one thing or be disciplined in it while they're learning. Children are learning. Now, I'm not saying some kids ain't bad, because some kids is bad as hell.
Hell, but there's, yeah,
other methods to disciplining those children, at least I personally believe. But when it comes to like, I don't know, it's something about the whole not allowing kids to be themselves that bothers me, because it's like, y'all really be caught up on the wrong shit, and it's like, we don't allow people to just be.
Mm-hmm.
And this includes kids, because they're in that developmental stage. So while they're in that developmental stage, like the whole part of them being vulnerable is literally, this is like a very major part of their existence at the current moment, because they're figuring shit out. You got to think about this. Mm-hmm. They don't know anything yet. As adults, we know a lot more than what we did as kids, obviously. We've experienced more. We've lived more life. That development, robbing them of that development, robbing them of that vulnerability. Like I said, boys can't be in gymnastics, or they can't do ballet because it's gay. Or girls can't play basketball because it's gay. It's some bad bitches right now in the W I'm talking about fine as hell. Angel Reese, prime example.
Mm-hmm.
She's as straight as an arrow. Like, she just loves basketball. It's like, imagine if her mom had told her that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine, we have to stop allowing people to not be themselves because we weren't vulnerable or our parents weren't. Whatever it is, and that's conditioning. Because Atticus mm-hmm. and I talk about conditioning. Conditioning is the damn devil. Because we get in our mind that something is a certain way. And I'm not saying that applies to everything, but to most things. And it doesn't really allow us to expand. And I'm rambling now, but I'm going to wrap it up and say
this. No, that's so true.
So I was talking about expansion. I feel like one of the greatest things that I ever allowed myself was to not be just vulnerable in learning, but vulnerable in unlearning. That is a process within itself, right? Because there is a different type of vulnerability in unlearning something that you've been taught is the way things are supposed to be your entire life.
And that's hard.
It is very hard because, and then a lot of times you realize, damn, what did I, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, what did I miss out on? That same thing goes with learning and unlearning. Like, what did I miss out on? Because I pretty much robbed myself of change and the vulnerability that comes with that. Cause everybody's not going to like it, but everybody isn't you and they don't get to live this life that you live. We don't know what happens after death. We have thoughts. We have ideas. Heaven, hell, reincarnation, all this stuff. You ain't dead yet, so you don't know. Who knows? After this, the energy could just disperse back in the air, and then that's it. All black. Curtains closed. We don't know. So what are you doing actively to avoid not being present in real time? And in order to be present in real time, you have to be open and vulnerable in order to really, truly be your best free self. Whatever that looks like. Life is as long as you're alive, you're learning, you're growing, you're experiencing. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Again, what did I say earlier? The biggest risk you can take is to not take a risk at all. If you fail, fuck it. Fail forward. Keep going. If you fail, that's okay. We get so caught up in our head about failure, and that goes back to the discipline and procrastination conversation that we were having last week. A lot of the times, again, because we feel a certain way, and we want to do things a certain way. We just want to do things the way we want to do things. It's just like, I don't want to have to deal with the emotions that comes with that. And one of the biggest emotions that comes with that is vulnerability. Putting yourself mm-hmm. out there, putting yourself in the forefront. And we just shut down. And it's like, okay, well, if I fail, then I fail. And then we procrastinate. And then we just don't ever do it. And then, because tomorrow is tomorrow. And then the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And then, again, that cycle. There's always a cycle going on until you break it. Once you break it, then you can actually live the life that we were destined to live.
Mm-hmm. I feel that's another reason. I don't want to say this is a black person thing. I really don't. But you have probably been like the biggest advocate for therapy for me. And again, I start therapy next month. So there's a lot of stuff there I just want to unpack just to deal with it, look at it, and just to move forward freer. Because I'm also in the mindset that our mind, body, soul is one whole thing. So if something is stuck, even in your mind or in your emotional state, it affects your physical well-being. It affects everything else in your life. So that's another thing I just want to, I'm open to being vulnerable enough to work through things and get past everything. And I don't want to say start life anew, but just start life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just live. But at the end of the day, I think without vulnerability, all we really do have is like a shell of a life. Almost like these robotic movements of protecting ourselves as we live throughout our day to day. But no actual real connections that mean anything. Nothing.
I love just, that friend. Yes.
Yeah. Just living to live until we don't live anymore.
And I wouldn't.
That might have sounded a little dark, but I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I don't think it sounded morbid at all. Actually, I think that sounded more fulfilling to what life is, because it's vulnerability that allows you to get the best things in life. You and I would not be friends right now if I didn't have a job where I had to have been vulnerable. I was this knuckleheaded, 23, 24-year-old at the time, selling door-to-door cable, like just talking to random people. Like, that is a job that takes vulnerability, because you got to kind of, you know, put yourself out there and hope for the best. So it's just like, look at how organic that happened. And it was just something that worked.
It was so random. It was so random. A random whatever day that was we met on in 2012, 2013, yep. Somewhere around there. Such a random day. The best, one of the best days of my life.
Same.
Everybody, the Discord is live for you to join us. So at the bottom of the episode, I don't know how it appears on every platform, but there are links to join the Discord in all of our episodes starting last week. And I want to say, maybe I can even go back and add them to the ones before that. I'm not sure. But the Discord is open, and it's also in the, like, in the bio section, I believe, too, now. So, yes, join the Discord and have a conversation with us.
Join the
We ramble like this all the time. And somebody else to laugh and have a good time with.
Absolutely.
But I'm not even fencing to try again. I'm just going to leave that where it is, because obviously whatever it is don't want to be said.
Come out. It's trapped in the closet. We not doing that shit no more.
Right. It's not doing that anymore at all. But yeah, I'm just going, whatever it is, if I remember, I'm just going to write the shit down and say it next week. I don't know. I think this is a byproduct of TikTok. The fact that shit just comes and goes that quick, because it lasted about the length of time my average TikTok lasts. I'm dead. 30 seconds, it was there, and then it was gone again. Maybe I'll scroll past it again here in my mind soon, but probably not.
Not TikTok on the brain. I'm TikTok dead. TikTok
is on the brain. That is all I got for this episode. But I do have another question for next week. And it is, what is the greatest truth I know, but rarely speak aloud? And what holds me back from expressing it fully? And one more time, what is the greatest truth I know, but rarely speak aloud? And what holds me back from expressing it fully?
Brian, drop that in the Discord.
I definitely will. Definitely will. All right, guys. I appreciate you for coming to spend time with us again. And we will see you guys, you wonderful people, next week.
Until later. Peace.
Bye.